From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Here's Newsline. Palestinian ambassador meets President Jokowi, conveys Ramadan wishes. Indonesia still far from achieving TB elimination target, said PDPI. And now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a courtesy call from Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia Zulhair Al-Shun at the presidential palace on Friday. As quoted by Antara, the ambassador said that he conveyed Ramadan greetings to President Jokowi and all Indonesian people during the visit. The Indonesian Religious Affairs Ministry earlier declared March 23, 2023 as the first day of Ramadan 1444 Hijriah. Al-Shun told the media after the meeting that President Jokowi assured him of Indonesia's consistent support for Palestine. He said that he and the Indonesian president also discussed the current situation in Palestine during their meeting. The Indonesian Society of Respirology assessed that efforts made by the Indonesian government to eradicate tuberculosis are still far from enabling the country to achieve the target of TB elimination by 2030. The treatment success rate of TB in Indonesia is still far from the target of 90%, between 65-70% on average. This was conveyed by PDPI Chairperson Agus Dwi Susanto at the Yes, We Can End TB press conference followed online on Friday, as reported by Antara. He further added that based on the Health Ministry report last year, TB treatment coverage stood at 74% with a success rate of below 90%. The government has made water the main priority for development. This was pointed out by Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Haji Mulyono in an official statement issued on Friday, as quoted by Antara. He expounded, currently, the Indonesian government has aligned the Sustainable Development Goals with the 2020 until 2024 National Midterm Development Plan to realize 100% access to drinking water and sanitation. He also said the drinking water service coverage has reached 91.05%, and improvement of sanitation access stands at 80.92%. The Industry Ministry Bali Creative Industry Center BCIC will organize the Creative Business Incubator and Indonesia Fashion and Craft Award, or IFCA, to encourage creative young entrepreneurs in the craft and fashion industry. BCIC was founded in 2015 to help craft and fashion industry players develop their businesses within the context of the Meet, Share, Collaborate. As reported by Antara, Director General of Small, Medium, and Multivarious Industries, or IKMA, at the Industry Ministry, Reni Yanita, in a statement issued on Friday, pointed out that the creative business incubator activity is undertaken through the classical and assistance method. The Johor Bahru Singapore Rapid Transit System Link project has reached another milestone and is on track to be completed by the end of 2026. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Transport Minister of Singapore Iswaran on Friday said that on the Singapore side so far, the government has completed about 45% of the project. Mr. Iswaran was at an event commemorating the pile caps installation works in the Straits of Johor on the Singaporean side. A senior official with the UN World Food Programme has praised Saudi Arabia for its invaluable support in fighting poverty and food insecurity across the region and beyond. As reported by ArabNews.com, Colorine Fleischer, Regional Director for the Middle East, North Africa, and Eastern Europe, told Arab News that the relationship between the kingdom and the WFP dated back more than 45 years, and that contributions made through the King Salman Center for Relief and Humanitarian Aid had helped to save lives in Yemen, Syria, and elsewhere. She further said in 2008, the kingdom announced a $500 million grant to the WFP, which had enabled it to complete its relief projects and provide food to millions of people affected by the high prices. United States President Joe Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced an immigration deal Friday to stop asylum seekers from crossing the U.S.-Canada border on official crossings. As reported by VOA.com, Biden told reporters at a joint news conference Friday in Ottawa during his first visit to Canada as president that the United States and Canada are working to address historic levels of migrations in the two countries' hemispheres. The migration agreement allows each country to turn away asylum seekers who reach the border at unofficial crossings and is aimed at helping Canada limit the rising number of asylum seekers who have crossed into the country from the United States after entering the U.S. elsewhere. And that was Newsline.
Oh, The first news comes from Badung, Bali. Muslims who live in the Tuban traditional village area, Badung Regency, Bali province, on Wednesday, March the 22nd, performed the first Tarawih prayer for the month of Ramadan, which coincided with the Hindus' Nyepi Day in the year Saka 1945, quietly. Head of the Tuban traditional village, Wayan Mendra, said Wednesday in Badung that this came from the awareness of residents whose religious tolerance is unquestionable. He said that in accordance with the joint call for the 1945 Nyepi holiday, Muslims in Bali were allowed to carry out the first Tarawih prayer at the nearest house of worship as long as they don't use vehicles to go there, limited lighting, and not using loudspeakers, as all were forbidden. However, ahead of the implementation of Nyepi Day, which requires the majority Hindu population on the island to worship in silence, he received information that the majority of Muslim community and the takmir or council of the local mosque had agreed to pray at home. The next news comes from Kudus, Central Java. Residents of Kudus Regency in Central Java province are preserving the Dandangan tradition, namely the tradition of beating the drum on top of the Kudus Tower in the Al-Aqsa Mosque Complex Kudus to mark the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Last Wednesday, the tradition of beating the drum was carried out while waiting for the government's announcement regarding the results of the Isbat meeting for the beginning of Ramadan 1444 Hijriah. The Dandangan tradition began when Sunan Kudus and his students recited prayers and praises to Allah, accompanied by the sound of the beating of a drum on the minaret of the Al-Aqsa Mosque centuries ago. Furthermore, the rhythmic sound of the drum invites local residents to come to wait for the determination of the start of the fasting month of Ramadan. The latest news comes from Cirebon, West Java. The Kasepuhan Palace of Cirebon, West Java, is holding the drum percussion tradition or glukdak, which is a sign of the start of Ramadan for the local community. Regent of Cirebon Kasepuhan Palace, Prince Raja Muhammad Nusantara, in Cirebon last Wednesday said drumming or glukdak at Kasepuhan Palace in the Cirebon city had become a tradition, especially at the start of the Ramadan month, Idul Fitri, and also Sahur. He said the beating of the drum was one of the signs that the beginning of Ramadan had arrived, while the drum was a relic of Sunan Gunung Jati. This tradition was also carried out by Sunan Gunung Jati when spreading Islam in the Cirebon area and its surroundings centuries ago. This is because of ancient times, the drum was one of the signs of communication. The sound of the drum that is beaten is different from the sound of the drum when it is to signal the arrival of prayer time as well as when marking Idul Fitri. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on March 25, 1942, when Aretha Franklin was born. Aretha Franklin is an American singer, songwriter, and pianist. She started her career when she was a child by singing gospel songs at the New Bethel Baptist Church in Detroit. Her father, C.L. Franklin, was the pastor of the church. In 1960, at the age of 18, she entered into a secular music career recording for Columbia Records. According to the Grammy.com website, Aretha Franklin is one of the most respected female singers in the United States, as well as being the only pioneer figure for all intergenre singers in the United States. Aretha Franklin recorded 112 singles that occupied the Billboard charts. She has won 18 Grammy Awards and is one of the best-selling singers of all time in the R&B soul field, with sales of 75 million copies worldwide. Aretha Franklin passed away on August 16, 2018 at the age of 76 years old due to complications from kidney failure and pancreatic cancer, which she had been experiencing for a long time. Let's move to another event on March 25, 1947, when Linggarjati Agreement was inaugurated at the Rijswijk Palace. Linggarjati negotiations, or Kuningan negotiations, was negotiation between Indonesia and the Netherlands at Linggarjati, Kuningan, West Java. The negotiation resulted in an agreement regarding the status of Indonesia's independence. The results of these negotiations were signed at the Rijswijk Palace, which is now named Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, on November 15, 1946, and legally signed by the two countries on March 25, 1947. The negotiations resulted in 17 articles, which among other things contain the facto recognition of the Dutch territory of the Republic of Indonesia, namely Java, Sumatra, and Madura. The Netherlands had to also leave Indonesian territory less than January 1, 1949. The Dutch and Indonesian parties agreed to form the Republic of the United States of Indonesia, and in the form of United States of Indonesia, had to be incorporated into the Indonesian-Dutch Commonwealth with the Crown of the Netherlands as the head of the union. At the signing of Linggarjati Agreement, the Indonesian side was represented by Sultan Syahrir and the Dutch by Dr. Van Mook. We enter the history with the event of March 25, 1957, when the European Economic Community was formed. The European Economic Community is one of forms of regional cooperation countries in the West European region. The European Economic Community was formed through the 1957 Rome Agreement with the initial aim of introducing economic integration, including a common market and the excise union. Among the six founding countries, namely Belgium, France, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and West Germany. After the European Union was formed in 1993, the European Economic Community was united and changed its name to the European Community. In 2009, all institutions of the European Community were merged into one with the European Union. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you. You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesian Embassy encourages increased export of Indonesian food product to Egypt. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt, Lutfi Rauf, is pushing for more Indonesian food and beverage products enter the Egyptian market in order to increase the value of exports to that country. As a promotional effort, Indonesia opened the Indonesian Pavilion at the Cairo Supermarket Expo Trade Exhibition, which was held at the Cairo International Convention and Exhibition Center, Nasser City, from March the 15th to 21st. Quoting a report by the Antara news agency, Ambassador Lutfi, in a written statement Friday, said that through the participation of 13 Indonesian companies at the Supermarket Expo, it is hoped that a wider variety of quality food and beverage products from Indonesia will penetrate the Egyptian market. This product diversity is to encourage an increase in the export value of Indonesian product to Egypt. In addition, according to Ambassador Lutfi, the presence of Indonesian products can also encourage increased interaction between entrepreneurs and trade cooperation between the two countries. During the 7 days of holding the exhibition, Indonesia presented a number of companies from various regions. The product offered include processed tuna products, charcoal briquette products, nipati and sanrego wood herbs, cashew nuts, Toraja coffee, skincare products, iconic handicraft products, food and beverages, and many others. Deputy head of the Indonesian Representative's Office in Cairo, M. Aji Surya, explained that the export of superior products has become a necessity for Indonesian micro, small, and medium entrepreneurs, business actors. Indonesian micro, small, medium enterprises are expected to continue creating quality and competitive products so they can penetrate the Egyptian market, especially during the difficult times amid the global economic recession. In 2022, exports of the two countries increased positively, with Indonesia's main product exports to Egypt including palm oil products and their derivatives, coffee bean products, dried coconut, wood products, textile, and processed foods. Meanwhile, Egypt's main export to Indonesia include natural gas, phosphate, dates, potatoes, molasses, and fruits. According to the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, this data show that Indonesia-Egypt relations in the field of trade economy are not competing with each other but complementing each other. Cairo Supermarket Expo is an exhibition of food, beverage, agricultural and plantation products, household goods, and staple products which is held during Ramadan month and opened by Egyptian Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly, accompanied by Egyptian Minister of Domestic Logistics and Trade Ali Moseli. The Indonesian pavilion that was built at the exhibition also promoted Indonesia's strategic products, natural beauty, and tourist attractions. The event was also used for the promotion of Indonesian Spice Up the World and Indonesia as a partner in the Hannover Messe Industrial Manufacturing Technology Exhibition. And in addition, Indonesia's 2023 ASEAN Chairmanship was also featured with displays on widescreen technology. That was My Indonesia Today.
We'll be right back.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Bongko Kopior, a typical menu for breaking fasting from East Java. The holy months of Ramadan is identical with fasting, Taraweh prayers, and reciting the Holy Quran. But from a culinary point of view, Ramadan is identical with Ta'jil, namely food eaten shortly after breaking the fast. Ta'jil is usually in the form of sweet foods such as banana compote and fruit soup. The province of East Java, Gresik in particular, has a Tajil dish that is easy to find on the side of main road in the Gresik area during Ramadan, namely Bongko Kopior. Listener, Bongko Kopior stands for jackfruit pulp and kopior coconut. The Javanese dialect then calls it Bongko Kopior. Bongko Kopior at first glance looks like marrow porridge, but with more diverse ingredients, kopior coconut shavings, slices of plain bread, pearled porridge, sliced banana, sliced jackfruit, and coconut milk are then wrapped in banana leaves and steamed. Usually, Bongko Kopior is sold by traders who use motorcycles with a price about 10,000 rupiah per pack. Listener, Bongko Kopior has a texture similar to marrow porridge. The process of making it is also steamed. Only the texture of Bongko Kopior is thinner than the marrow porridge. Bongko Kopior also has a more unique taste because it has a savory and sweet taste. During the holy month of Ramadan, such as today, Bongko Kopior in Gresik is one of typical menus being hunted. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kembali terjadi, kau mainkan hati untuk kesekian kali. Kau ingkar akan janji, kau ubah segala cerita yang ada, terbayang di asa yang kau bilang selamat. Hilang sudah.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, today's miscellany brings good news from Indonesia, which was awarded 4 main awards at the Japan World Tourism Film Festival at the Izukande Shrine, Japan, recently. On this occasion, Indonesia, through the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Industry, sent 2 tourism films entitled Jiwa Jagat Jawi and Authentic Itu Perlu Waktu. Both films won the Golden Prize for Tourism Country and Asian Competition. Even the tourism film Jiwa Jagat Jawi won the highest award, namely Grand Prix. Meanwhile, Authentic Itu Perlu Waktu won the Silver Prize for Tourism Products. Indonesia's victory in the Japan World Tourism Film Festival international event is certainly good news for tourism in Indonesia. The government, represented by the Indonesian Consul General in Osaka, Diana Emilia Sari Sutikno, in her statement recently said, "Winning this award was an important moment for the revival of Indonesian tourism after 3 years affected by the pandemic." Japan World Tourism Film Festival is an annual event held by Wakayama University and the International Committee for Tourism Film Festival. The competition in this international film festival is divided into 3 main categories, namely Japan Competition, International Competition, and Grand Prix. In the meantime, President of the International Committee for the Tourism Film Festival, Alexander V. Kamel, said the number of categories won showed that Indonesian tourism films were worthy of competing in other festivals under the Committee for the Tourism Film Festival network this year. The festival every year determines the world's best tourism promotion films in thematic categories. There are 1,286 films that were contested this year from 105 countries and various regions in Japan. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
We'll be right back.
are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song by Bella Nadinda. The song I'm going to present today is called Jera, composed by Melly Guslau and popularized by Agnes Monica and released in 2003. The song Jera, which in English means cherry, tells about someone who is tired of her love story because it always ends painfully, making her cherry of falling in love with someone else. Well, listener, here is Bella Nadinda with the keroncong song Jera. Enjoy!
Hitam bukan di juga bukan dirimu, cuma ku melihatmu tak bercahaya seperti kau terluka oleh cinta.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.